Good morning. God's grace and blessing on each one of you. It's a blessing to be here. It's also a blessing that there's other places to go to, isn't there? You know what? I'm not going to say you need to, but if any of you want more of a front row seat, you're welcome to it. I guess that's what sound systems and things do, huh? You can scatter all over the church house and still be there. So that's fine. If you're comfortable where you are, we'll let it there. But you're welcome to move up. Why don't we open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4? And like was mentioned a little bit, two things actually. Thursday, since Wednesday evening is moved, I guess I don't get to ask prayer Wednesday evening, so I'll just say it now. Thursday, which is actually our 10th anniversary, hard to believe, we fly to Oregon, and some friends that share the same anniversary as we do kindly rented a cabin for us and them both, so we'll spend a Friday and Saturday with them there on the coast somewhere. And then hopefully Saturday sometime and Sunday, we'll probably thinking we'll go to Chewila, Washington, where my wife has some cousins. And then the meeting starts a week from Monday with, 13th, I think, 12th, whatever that is, through the 20th. So please, yeah, make yourself part of that work by praying for us. Be there at Halsey. I've been there one time. It's a really big church house that kind of has me nervous off the get, so I guess you can pray for me in that. So that's our plans there, and we'll fly back the Monday after the meetings. I think it's the 21st. So if you think of us, we'd be glad for your prayers or any encouragement you have. Okay, as far as the message, I wasn't sure. I thought briefly of doing a trial run on one of the ones from meetings, but then I had a lot of those that I'm planning to use at this point anyway. I had preached at least maybe fragments out of some of them, and I didn't feel like I should be that lazy on you all. And then I was working on another one, and someone that wasn't able to be here this morning got wind of it, and they said, oh, no, you got to wait to preach that one time here. So I was like, well, what should I do? And here's a passage here in Ephesians. I've heard that preaching, what they call an expository message, is supposed to be a good thing, and I've done it a few times, but it's not something I feel talented in. So maybe you all can tell me how to do this better after today. I'm not sure. Probably, honestly, this sounds bad, and I'm not saying that people that preach expository messages are this way. I feel kind of lazy because it don't take me near as much time to get one of these together as it does a subject that you study for months, different times anyway. So Ephesians chapter 4, and I'd like to start reading at verse 17, and we'll read through chapter 5, verse 2. I think we'll just read it. I think we should have time for that. So why don't we stand? And we'll read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. I'll start reading. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stools steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You may be seated. I think I'll title this Walking in the New Man. I'll give you, make this a little bit more interesting for the children, maybe, and give you an illustration. Maybe it'll stick better. I don't know. I think this is the oldest coat I could come by, and we'll get to that in a bit here. Okay, I've split this into basically four sections, three main ones that we'll focus on. First of all, we have how not to walk, verses 17 through 19. How we are not to walk. It says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." So when we're talking about walk this way, what are we just talking about getting out and walking down the aisle or the road, or what are we thinking about when we say walk? Anybody want to tell me? What does walk mean? Does it mean just the action of walking? Does it mean something else?
Manner of life.
Okay. I'm sorry, I missed the last one. The way you live, okay. I think y'all covered it well. I have wrote down this, the way I comport myself, the way I live, what I think, and what I do. And he says, ye henceforth, from here on out, you're not to do like these other people do. Gentiles, I'm a Gentile, I think most of you are. So we're not supposed to do like we see other Gentiles doing. And then he gives us a couple things, how they walk. He describes how they live, how they think, what they do. The first one is the vanity of their mind. Now, vanity, I often think, what's vanity? Anyone tell me what vanity is? You're laughing at my coat, aren't you? Anyway, go ahead. Okay. Thank you. Somehow when I think of vanity, I often think of pride, which it's related. Vain is kind of pride, lift yourself up. But vanity, the word vanity actually means just empty foolishness. Just, it's stupid, almost, you could say. Okay, so he says, we're not supposed to walk like they do in the stupidity of their mind. Fleeting. What does a Gentile, and the way Paul's using this, a non-Christian, what does he think about? Right? He don't think about eternity much, right? He thinks about here, now. How I can gain advantage in this business deal, or how I can make people look up to me in this way. Vanity. Fleeting and foolish thoughts of no substance. And you know, as just logical, cleaned up Mennonite culture people, and I'm not trying to run Mennonite down by saying that, but we can see this fairly readily when we're talking about an alcoholic or a drug addict, right? I don't think any one of us sits here and, oh my, wish I could be like the alcoholic laying in the ditch or getting a ticket for driving drunk. No. What about the drug? Yeah, we don't have any desire to be in Lawrence County Prison this morning because we got caught with a certain amount of cocaine or anything. No, but is it really, what about the person that just pours himself into his business? And don't get me wrong, we are to put our best into what we have, and I think I need to do the same. I'm not necessarily hitting that, but if I just make my business, my goal, my drive, everything is just all into this, and that's what I live for. Yeah, I might show up at church, but it's because it's expected, not because my heart's in it. Is that really, as you think of eternity, that's just as fleeting as a drunk, isn't it? Having to go back to the bottle, because I'm going to have to keep growing this business. Because if it stays stagnant very long, I'm not doing something right. So therefore, shake it up. What about the other person that's maybe famous? For whatever reason, I just picked, I'm not trying to pick on them, but let's say there's a famous motivational speaker that we kind of admire. How long does his fame and his good thoughts last? He might be a wise financial person, and he might have good ideas that even I as a Christian can benefit by, but if he's not really a Christian, if he's not just poured himself out to God, and he's working for the things of here and now, how long does that last? Not very long, does it? It's gone, it's over, it's empty, just again. So the vanity of their mind, the vain foolishness, focused on things of time rather than of eternity. Okay, then it says, so they walk in the vanity of their mind, the foolishness of the mind. They said they have their understanding darkened. Understanding darkened, what does that mean to you? If you think of having your understanding darkened, what happens to you? Anyone? Okay. If you look up those words, which I did a little bit, it basically means that, I guess I'm saying this right, they can't think on a deep level. Their thoughts are superficial. they don't think deeply. I was listening to an audiobook recently that I wouldn't necessarily recommend a lot of people listening to. I had a good reason for listening to it, by the way, but I won't mention the title. But there's this one individual in there, this very carnal, very selfish lady. Just, it was terrible, really. It's hard to imagine somebody, well, yeah, actually, I've seen people like her, I guess. She's not the only one. But whenever thoughts came to her about eternity, let's say, about how things, maybe sometimes she did have fear that things weren't going to work out. And this is what she would say to herself. I'm not going to think about it now. I'm not going to think about it now. You ever find yourself doing that? I mean, there's maybe a right place to set things aside. But for her, it was just an eternity of neglect. She just did not want to think about certain things. And that's having the understanding darkened. An unwillingness to just stop and look and think and let God speak to me. Understanding darkened. Deep thinking and comprehension is obscured. Even the thoughts that seem deep and profound are based on no more substance than things of time. Okay, that brings me to the next one, having their understanding darkened. It says, being alienated from the life of God. What's an alien? Have any of you ever been an alien? When I lived in Paraguay, I actually am a Paraguayan. I was born there, so I could have had a Paraguayan citizenship, even though I never really bothered with it. But in Paraguay, if they see somebody like me, they would call me a gringo, whether they knew the better or not. And that basically means a foreigner, right? That's kind of an alien. You could use the same term. A lot of times people like to use this on strange creatures from outer space that, far as we know, probably don't exist. But it means something foreign. It's not usual. It's from a different place. So they're alienated from the life of God. God and the life that God gives is a strange thing, okay? That's how they walk. And the reason is through the ignorance that is in them. In other words, they're foolish. They're ignorant. They don't think about God, like I said earlier. And then he goes on and says, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, if somebody's blind, what are they? Can any of the school children tell me what they are if you're blind? You can't see. That's right. Remember those of us that were in school Friday there at the noon recess, we played 25 Escadoo, right? Remember that? Now, if you would have been blind, you would have had a hard time playing that game, right? You wouldn't have known where base was, really. You wouldn't have known where the boundaries were. You sure enough wouldn't have known where the people that were trying to catch you were. So, now, is he talking about being blind? Is he just talking about being blind people here that can't see with their eyes? No, I don't think so. It says blindness of their heart. So how do you get to have a blind heart? A blind heart. How do you do that? Well, let's illustrate it this way. I got a pair of safety glasses here. Now, they're clear, right? They're to protect my eyes. They don't really make a difference. At least if they're clean and they're not scratched and they don't run around in the truck too long. But safety glasses in and of themselves, they don't really change for the most part the thing I see, right? But now let's say I get blind. So I've got a big heart sticker here. Kind of goes with blindness of the heart. So let's say that I like the things of this world, right? So rather than having a clear view, a clear vision to see things in this world like God does, I stick love of the world onto my glasses. Okay, so I've got a heart there now. Love of the world. Another one, I hope this doesn't make Pooh feel bad, the sticker I can find with the Pooh Bear. So I'm going to use him. Maybe I enjoy to be entertained like the world is. I am not necessarily against reading Pooh, by the way, but I have that some sort of illustration. So I just like to be entertained by the world. I don't like to think serious, so whenever serious things, thoughts come, I pull out my Pooh Bear book, whatever that is for me, and I focus on being entertained. Entertainment industry has so many avenues, so I stick that on there. Maybe some bad things happen to me that I don't like, and I got some attitudes, some bitterness in my heart and stuff, so we'll just call that, we'll just use this chapstick. So I smear up. I don't really want to see how people are. It don't look good, so I just smear up the one lens. So now that, I feel better at getting that fixed up. Now, the other thing is, I lost my one piece.
Here's another one.
So another thing, maybe I'm proud about my ability, how well I can play. So I'll just write my name on these glasses too. Maybe I'm proud about the business I can run or an organization I work for, so I'll just put FOHP here for my solar company. Okay, now. I can see really good now, don't they? I blocked it all out. I've got love of the world. I've got love of entertainment. Russell, you were trying real hard to catch me when we were playing that game on Friday. Do you think you could catch me now? I'd have a hard time running, wouldn't I? Look at this look. I'd probably crash into you, probably what would happen. And I feel sorry for the people I freed. I had to feel sorry for some of them anyway. I really feel sorry for them. Now my especially this eye is kind of blocked out pretty bad. He's got big anti-bill. So he talks blindness of heart. So when he's talking about blindness of heart, he's not saying that they can't see with their eyes, but he's saying that their heart, when they don't look inside of themselves, so they got all this anger, this bitterness. We'll make a list of some of this stuff here in a bit. And they're just so full of it, they can't really see where they're going, and they crash into people, and they crash into the things. They run out of bounds. That's blindness of the heart. Okay, so if you got a blind heart, notice what the next step is. It says, who being past feeling have given themselves, and we'll stop there for a bit, past feeling. So does it actually mean these people can no longer feel? Let's illustrate it this way. I struggled a little bit, so I did some research on this phrase. If I work really, really hard, and I don't know, maybe I don't have as many as I should have. I still got a little bit. Years ago, apparently, my dad had told me if I want to make some money, I could dig out this little row of stumps. And this was great money for, I think I was about 7 or 8. And so this, I was going to make big money, boys, I tell you what. So I got out there, and I worked like a horse. I mean, I worked hard. And guess what happened to my hand? I got what you call blisters. So I had to wear gloves or something. Gloves weren't as easy to come by compared to when they're here. But anyway, I kept working. Well, guess what happened? It took me a better part of a week and a half or 2 weeks, I remember, right, to get all these things dug out. Well, by that time, I no longer had blisters. I had what you call calluses. Are you familiar with calluses, Jim? Okay, so that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about being calloused. Past feeling. In other words, a callus doesn't have feeling like a soft part of your hand. When you got a callus there, it's dead skin that protects you from that hoe handle or whatever you're using. So who being past feeling, being calloused against God, against the things of God, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. So we have blindness of heart. They're stubborn. They're unwilling to see things the way they are. They're past feeling. They're callous to the truth. They protect themselves. There's a barrier between them and truth, their conscience and truth. Truth and the appeal of good and right are wasted. Their hearts are hard to it. Think of Pharaoh. And then he says this is what these people do. Once they're walking in the vanity of the foolishness of their mind, their understanding is darkened, their brain isn't working right, they're alienated from God, they're foreign to the things of God, and their heart is blinded by love of the world, by entertainment, by bad attitudes, by pride. And their past feeling, then they give themselves over, he says, to lasciviousness. And I don't know, I'm not going to give you a big definition of lasciviousness, but if we were just to interpret that into another English word that makes more sense to me anyway, is filthy dirtiness. Just filthiness. And they do it with a greedy passion. It'd be just like, I don't know, not many of you raise show pigs, do you? But I've seen pictures of people, 4-H people and stuff that raise pigs. So they get this pig out of the pen and they wash him down nice for the show. Well, guess what? If you put that pig back into the dirty pen, what will he do? He'll go back in the dirt, won't he? He does not appreciate being clean. He enjoys being dirty. The other thing would be if you have a dog, probably more of us, or we should have, more of you have dogs than pigs probably. You know, you can clean up a dog ever so nice, have him smelling all good. Guess what happens if you take him out in the pasture where there's some manure? You ever know what a dog does? He just rolls in. The worse, the better. I mean, the worse a dead animal, anything. Oh, some of those dogs that just get down in it, and it's not good enough just to smell it. You got to put this shoulder in and then that shoulder and wiggle around and get it all over you, right? That's what he's talking about. These people, once they have done all this stuff, they just get filthy and dirty. And it's not only that they sniff at it. Oh no, they roll in it. They revel in it. They just get all greedy with this. Okay, so that's, he says, how these people walk. What a way to live. How horrible. Well, let's look at this. What does it take to keep from living this way? Still in chapter 4, verse 20 now. He says this. But ye have not so learned Christ. In other words, this is not the way you have been taught to follow Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus. So he's saying, if you have heard Christ, if you've really heard Christ, if you really know about Christ and have been taught of Christ, you know that the truth is in Christ, not in this other stuff. Therefore, he says, you will need to put off the old man. You need to put off the old man. He makes it sound like something you could just take off and get rid of. Now, I tell you what happens with, and I'm thankful for Christian homes. Don't get me wrong on that. But you know what most of us that grew up in Christian homes, what we try to do rather than just get rid of that old man? We look around like, boy, this thing's pretty bad. I can't believe I'm wearing it in church. I feel bad. I can understand enough of God's word that it's not good to look like this. So you know what? Rather than taking it off, I just retrain myself, right? I get my other coat, and I'm going to hide this. That way Nathan back there can't see it. I'll look just as good as he does, even though I know it's not all good down there. But if I button this just right, I'm going to melt if I keep this up. But anyway, so now, let's see. I need a mirror just to make sure the back's good. Oh, there's a little bit sticking out up here, so I stuffed that back. I look as good as Nathan now, see? Feel pretty good. That's how, if we grow up in a Christian home, that's usually how we try to live the Christian life the first little bit. We're like, and then sometimes we do get hot, so anybody looking, I'll open it up, I'll just turn my back. And then every once in a while we're working and this thing falls out, like, whoops, ooh, I guess that wasn't good. And so maybe God's word sometimes is really bothering me. It's like, ooh, it's underneath there. And what? I never took it off. I was just hiding it. You can't serve God and hide it. You got to get rid of it. He says put off. So you know what? I finally just have to take this one completely off. It's old. It's worn out. It's ugly. It's got to be taken off. Now let me ask you, children, again, if you're not too scared, I'm working you hard this morning. What's going to happen if you take a vacuum, like a sweeper, and you just take it and you have something? What happens when you turn the vac on? Anybody come? All kinds of dirt wants to go up the nozzle, right? Have a shot back. You don't need to suck up stove, right? Do you know why it does that? It's sucking. It's what we call creating a vacuum. And when it creates a vacuum, air rushes in there to take its place. So, if I take off the old man, guess what? I'm like a vacuum sweeper now. I'm empty, okay? It's empty. It creates a vacuum. So now, it's really, really dangerous to take off an old man because you might end up with worse an old man unless you do two things real quick. Let's see what Paul says you need to do. He gives us two things that we got to do real quick. He says, put off the concerning the formal conversation the old man, which is corrupt and deceitful to the deceitful lust. And then he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now it's interesting. Now generally, we as... Again, with God, the upbringing, even when we get brave enough to take off that old coat, you know what we do is we rush to put the new one on top. And I want to be careful. It is important to put the new one on. But notice there's a step in here that I think we too often skip. He says you have to have a renewed mind. A number of years ago, I guess around, there was some ladies I was teaching school with, we'll let it at that. I thought they would play a joke on me. And so they had the brain store. You all are at all familiar with the brain store? So what they do is they say that they're going to sell brains. And so you come, supposed to come to the store. It's kind of a skit thing, whatever. And so they go down through. And so they have this brain. This one brain has, as I remember, a college education. He has so much learning. And he's got this experience and that thing. He costs this much. Okay, so good. And so... then the next one has a little bit, maybe he only has a high school diploma, he doesn't know quite as much, but thankfully he's a little cheaper. Anyway, they ended up with me, of course, being the new brain. And they said that this one costs the most. And the only thing that they said about it was that there's nothing in it. But as a Christian, when you get a new brain, if I may use that word, it's not so much that there's nothing in it, but that you have to have in it what God wants in it, right? You got to get rid of the old mindset, the old desires. And I realize in the flesh, we don't get totally rid of all of those. At the same time, they have to be put out. And I have to have a renewed mind, different desires, different goals, different whatever. And I had to think recently, You know, we had that talk about internet and some things, or we could go on in different areas. But you know, when I have the opportunity to do something that is not good for me spiritually, that's actually where it becomes clear what's in my mind. What do I really want? You know, we could put people in a greenhouse where we say, oh, you can't. Maybe we just build a monastery and just put all of you in a monastery. No windows, no nothing. You sit in this cell. Now we've got you taken care of. Now guess what? That still doesn't renew our mind. But I want to tell you something else. A renewed mind is safe outside of a monastery. And it's got different goals, different desires, and is looking for different things. Okay. And then he does go on, I don't want to skip that, and put on the new man, and that's why I put on my suit coat here, not necessarily trying to promote that in a wrong way, but that you put on the new man. You got to put the old over there and put the new on. Now, we'll just change this a bit here in a minute. Which, after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, we got to put off, be renewed up here, or wherever you want to say, in the heart, in our mind. And then put on the new man with his new motivations, his new desires. And then that gives us a desire for those things that God has created in himself of righteousness and holiness. Now, let's do a contrast with the rest of this chapter. Can anybody tell me what a contrast is? What's a contrast? Okay. A comparison between opposites. Well, just for example, you can see the black writing on the white board because it contrasts, right? The board is white, the writing is black. So let's add to the writing here. We'll just put old man here. And then we'll put a new man over here. Okay. Now, why don't you all help me? Let's look at these verses. Maybe I'll just read them again. Be chapter 4, verse 25 through 32. Some of these will take a bit of imagination. Let's see how many of you can get, and then I'll give you what I came up with. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Okay, so let's make a list. He gives us a list here. Just give them out. What traits are we given of the old man? What traits belong to the old man in the verses I just read?
Lying,
okay? Lying and deceitfulness. Okay, next one.
Anger.
Okay. Anger.
Stealing.
Any more? Okay.
Clamor.
Any more?
Bitterness. Dirty word.
Okay, that evil communication thing.
Corrupt communication.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. I'll just write it here behind the sin one. Place to the devil. Any more? That cover it? See if that covers what I had here. Lying, deceit. I'm going to put uncontrolled. My bad here. Uncontrolled anger, wrath. Now, you'll see a reason for that in a bit. giving place to the devil, corrupt communication, grieving God's spirit. That one probably took a little bit of interpretation, but grieving God's spirit, let's put that down here at the bottom. Bitterness, we had wrath and anger anyway already, and clamor and evil speaking. Maybe I'll just put that one behind this one for the way I have it. Okay, those are some identifications of the old man, the one that we need to take off. These are things he does, things he delights in, the manure, the dead animal that he rolls in, the things he makes himself dirty with, okay? So he enjoys lying, deceit. He likes to be angry, but he does get angry, and I think he doesn't really mind too much some of the time. Steals, takes what doesn't belong to him. He delights in corrupt communication, be it vulgar talking, indecent things, or be it just gossip, slander. A little scary there. Clamor, just making a big noise, saying evil speaking, kind of another thing. Bitterness. He delights in bitterness. After all, so-and-so did so-and-so to me. Makes me think of years ago in an old book Mom and Dad had. Just so impressed. I couldn't figure it out for a long time because it didn't have that many vehicles, and I wasn't that familiar with high and low beam. Probably it seems odd to some of your children. But had this picture of a car coming with his lights on high beam, and the other car was going the other way. This couple and this man is driving, and he says, "Blind if I did my lights if he doesn't do his." That's bitterness. If he's not going to dim his lights, I'm not going to dim mine. That's bitterness. And that feels really good to the old man. He enjoys being bitter, just accusing others. So this is excusing himself. Okay. So now, some of these are clear, some are not so clear. Let's have some traits of the new man, ways we tell if the new man's living. Let's just take lying and deceit. What does the new man do? That one's fairly clear. Speaks truth. Okay? So I've got one trait of a new man. Okay, so the one is uncontrolled anger and wrath. What does the new man do? This is kind of interesting if you think about it. I'm sorry? Okay, he does, but it actually says he gets angry. If you look at it, it says, let's look at that verse.
Be angry and sin not.
So I'm going to put controlled indignation. There is a time and a place to, and sometimes I face it. I'm not promoting anger in any way, uncontrolled, but I'm going to put down controlled indignation. I hope you can understand what I'm saying. There is a place. Where is it because of sin, misuse of other people? That there is a right place to have some indignation, but it does not. It has to be controlled. Controlled indignation, I'll just let that one for now. Maybe we'll get down. I've got a little bit more on that later. Okay, the next one on the place in order would be giving place to the devil. What do we replace that with? That one's not real clear. Spelled out. Okay, there'd be different ways you could say that. I'm going to say room for God. And again, I know this isn't wrote out that way, but if we give place to the devil, just like a vacuum is going to be filled with something, if I seal off that to the devil, something else will take its place. So there has to be room for God. Okay, what is stealing replaced with? That one's fairly clear.
Giving to the poor.
Okay. Isn't that interesting? You replace stealing with giving. Giving to those with need. Oops. Okay, so you give to needs.
Also, it's industry.
Right, I noticed that as well. Industry would be a good one. From being lazy and taking away what belongs to someone else, you now work. And the reason for work is so that you can give to others the reason that's given there. Okay, so corrupt communication. This one, there's different ways you could say it, but what is corrupt communication replaced with? I'm sorry? Okay. Thank you. Like I said, there'd be different ways to do that, but I have, I'm just going to call it words that minister. Words that minister and help. Okay, what's grieving God's spirit replaced with? Again, this one's not wrote out as such, but just think. If the karma, if the old man grieves God's spirit, what does the new man do? Think a bit. What's really our goal for being on the earth in the first place is going to really boil down.
Pleasing God.
Pleasing God, bringing glory to God, all the same thing. Okay. Okay, and then we actually have wrath and anger, going back to what you said, Cletus, which was correct as well. So that controlled indignation actually makes me have pity, compassion, whatever you want to use, and end up with kindness. So we'll just put that one up here. And then clamor and evil speaking are replaced, if I can say this, with a tender and caring heart. And some of these you could rearrange different ways. Just have to add some kind of list. Okay. So now, as I just look at myself, if I look at my life, I'm one of these that's willing to think. I don't just like that lady I told you about that says, I'll just think about it later. So if I really stop and think, do I see lying and deceit in my life? Do I see uncontrolled anger and wrath? Do I see myself stealing? Oh, no, never not. Never would do that. Actually, do I? Do I steal other people's reputations? Yes. There's different ways you can steal. I'll let you work on that. Corrupt communication. Is there slander, gossip? Telling stories I really wouldn't need to be saying. Is there clamor, making a big noise, evil speaking, again, closely related? Is there bitterness that clouds my vision? Do I give place to the devil in any way, shape, or form? Do I grieve God's spirit by the way I live, by the way I talk, by the friends I have? Then on the other side, the new man, same test. Do I see traits of the new man in myself? Do I find myself speaking the truth in love, of course? Very important there. Yeah, are there things that make me indignant, such as sin, as wrong? Yet at the same time, does that lead me to extending kindness to the person because of the struggle they're having? My industry is not very good, but we'll let it for now. And then going from, do I see myself as energetic? Not necessarily to promote self or pride or to build a big castle for myself here in any way, but so that I have to give to the needs of others. Do the words I speak, do they minister? In other words, do they help you or someone else? Encouraging. Help them along on the way. Do I have a tender and caring heart, tender-hearted? Do I have room for God? And does my life bring glory to God? Traits of the new man, the one that has to be put on with the renewed mind, of course. Now I'm going to talk just a little bit about the corrupt communication, or if you will, the evil speaking, maybe. And words that minister and help, tender and caring heart. I got a magazine in yesterday. How many of you get the, I think it's called Anabaptist Voice. It's one of these things that just started showing up. There's a very interesting article. If you want to borrow mine and read about it, you may. There's this church in the Ukraine that seemingly, they're not sure, but this man from the Ukraine had been sent to Siberia during the time of communism for, I don't know what he's some kind of convict. I think he was there justly, probably. But during his time there, it seems like he met, again, they don't know for sure, he met some Christian, let's say it that way, and he became converted. He come home, and he started a group of churches. I think there's 8 churches with 3,000 members in a certain valley in Ukraine, and they call them the Ukrainian Amish. Now, they had no communication with Amish or Mennonites, and, well, I guess there's been some Mennonites over there now. But they're totally separate. They're not hooked up to Mennonite or Amish as such. It could be, possibly, that this Christian that they met would have been something that this other man met. But he came home, started these group of churches, and to us, probably in some ways, they're very legalistic. Probably they're very anti any use of technology. In fact, they're probably more backwards than the Amish in some ways, from what I could understand of it. At the same time, they put a great emphasis on the new birth and a couple other things. And one thing they also put a great emphasis on, which I think I maybe need to put more on, is this thing of evil speaking, of evil communication, or what's the word, corrupt communication. Here's what they do in their church. If I would go tell a story about Sean that's not true, and somebody out, let's say I would say it to somebody outside of the church, but with time some of the rest of you would hear about it. And he says, when you have church life like these people do, you do hear about it if somebody gossips. Guess what they do to that person? Guess what I would have to do? I would have to go up in front of all the churches and say that I said so and so, it wasn't true, and that this is the truth. And they said they don't have much problem with gossiping and stuff. You know, I can almost believe that. I can almost believe that. But at the same time, maybe it would be good if we do that, at least if you do that for me. At the same time, that doesn't necessarily in and of itself ensure there's a new man in within my heart, does it? I can just be scared of the consequences. But really, do I consider very strongly what I say about others in the form of gossip? Do I seriously consider it? Do I pray about it before I talk? You know, it should be more important to me that God doesn't see corrupt communication coming out of my mouth than that I have to apologize to 8 churches that I said this, right? How important is some of this stuff to me? And I know, I'm not trying to say that we're old, that we are non-Christians, that we're over the old man, but you know, some of those things sneak back in so easily. And going back to that first verse, or verse 20, is it 25, where he says, "Wherefore put away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." How important is that to me? Okay, going on to the last two verses, chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Maybe I should end on a positive note on that communication. How much stronger would, first of all, would this church be if I just took the time to encourage, to commend? And that was actually one of the messages I'm working on, so I'll save some of that for later. I was thinking about criticism, critical or critical or constructive. But do I commend my brother when he does the right thing, or am I just always looking for trouble? Anyway, think about that. Okay, last two verses. Chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." I think most of us relate with children, let's say under the age of 7, 6, in that range. You know, if that child, if you have one of those children that really feels loved by their mom, by their dad, what do? They try to copy mom or dad's actions, right? I see it all the time. It's amazing. It's fascinating sometimes how my girls think I do some of my job, like sticking sticky notes all over my office. But, you know, in their mind, they're doing what I do, right? And that's what he's talking about. So you have a dear child, a child that's loved, a child that's appreciated, a relationship is cultivated with a child, is the illustration we have here. It says, "Be ye followers of God as dear children." Just as my small daughters, or maybe your small son or daughter, tries to follow, emulate what they see you do because they love you, we are to do the same for God. I follow after God because I'm his dear child. How precious is that? Thinking of the spirit of the Abba Father, another message I've been working on. A child who's loved and accepted by daddy or mommy will try and copy what they do. So we are to copy or follow God and his will and plan for us. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And then he goes on, "As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor." You know, as Christ's life was defined by his love and care for others, so we are to live a life, in other words, walk, in love for each other and have a heart of compassion for those around us. And again, like I told you, we're not a vacuum. Just because when I come to Christ and I ask him to put off, yes, I have to put off, and this wipes this out, right? Well, more or less. But guess what? I can't live in a vacuum. And if I don't feel that putting off, if I don't get that renewed mind and I don't get that new coat to put on, which are these, I'll end up worse than the initial list I had. I have to be filled with God, filled with Christ, as I walk after God to be what Christ is. And after all, isn't that why we're Christians today? Because we seek to be Christ-like to all.